Hey, check, 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 one. Pa, pa, pa. What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Extreme Drummers Podcast with me, Dan Wilding. And it is episode 17, I believe. And the reason I was making those stupid sounds at the start is because I'm speaking to you from a brand new microphone. Yeah, that's right. It's getting very professional over here. This is the first podcast on the new SE Electronics Dynacaster. I know, it sounds pretty serious, right? Yes, SE Electronics were kind enough to send this wonderful thing to me. And it is, for anyone who's into podcasting, I'm going to get nerdy for about 2 seconds, maybe more than 2 seconds. Everyone knows what I'm like. I like to go off on a tangent, which I probably will. The SM7B by Shure is the industry standard for podcasting microphones. It's on the Joe Rogan Experience. It's on every single podcast you see. It's pretty much one of those. But they're really freaking expensive. So, I never bought one of those. Up until now, I've been using this. It's a Shure, but it's a USB microphone, which means it just plugs straight into the computer. No need for an interface or a boost or anything like that. But I heard incredible things about this new SE Dynacaster, and that it was going to be called, or it's being called, the SM7B Killer. So, through various people that I knew, mainly Sebastian Lancer, the absolute legend, Sebastian Lancer, who's been on here a couple of episodes ago, hooked me up with the lovely people at SE Electronics. And now I'm speaking to you, hopefully, in nicer quality, and it's a pretty serious piece of kit. I'll be posting some stuff about it on my social media pages soon. But thank you to SE Electronics for this wonderful, wonderful thing. It looks awesome too. So I'm just nerding out right now. I do apologize. But yes, that's a good way to start the podcast, right? How's everybody doing? How's your week been? I hope you're doing all right. I hope everyone's keeping safe and sane, as always. And yes, so I've just been on holiday for the last week, hence why the podcast is a day late. It was a day late last week too. I'm slacking. It's bad. It's not good. But went up to North Wales, which was, I've never been there before in my life, and it was with my wife and kids, and it was amazing. It was insane. Beautiful part of the world. I'd highly recommend it to anybody. It's just nice to get away, isn't it? Weather was amazing. Food was good. Kids didn't really sleep very much, but that doesn't matter. We still had a great time. So this week is a slightly different episode, and moving forward, there's going to be quite a few more of these. For anybody who is part of the Patreon, I'm going to plug it right now, patreon.com/extremedrummerspodcast. Go sign up and join the awesome people that are already there and have some fun. As I said on the Patreon, it's getting very hard at the moment now that the world is opening up more and more and more and more. It's getting a lot harder to basically schedule interviews with the people that I'd like to schedule interviews with, because everybody's touring again, which is obviously absolutely incredible. And I think we're all very excited about that prospect. And also Carcass is getting really busy again. We're doing lots of rehearsals, and we leave in about 3 weeks for tour, the first tour in 2 years, which is terrifying, but also incredibly exciting. So it's getting harder and harder and harder to organize interviews with people. So I put it to my wonderful patrons to see what the best thing to do would be. And we came up with this kind of format, which is essentially discussing a topic. There's going to be a whole ton of different topics, but basically discussing a topic. Patrons can send in questions, and it'll all be talked about and discussed on the podcast. So this is more like a topical podcast. I'm still going to do guests as and when I can, as much as I can, obviously, because the guests thing is probably a lot more interesting than hearing me talk for however long. But so that's the plan. So we're going to do a bunch of these, and there's going to be guests whenever there's guests. Obviously, I'd like to do as many guests as I can, but it all depends on my schedule, their schedule, and all that stuff. So this week, for the first installment of this kind of I guess, topical podcast is practice. I decided to do practice because basically I've been doing shitloads of practice recently because I'm about to go away again. It's the most amount of real practice that I've done since the pandemic. So kind of wanted to talk about practice. What is practice? What it means for me? Obviously talking about practice routines and all that kind of stuff, and also speaking about different concepts of practice and all that kind of stuff. And then also I've got a bunch of questions from my wonderful patrons again, as always. So I'll be answering them and talking about them because there's some really interesting stuff that seems to be affecting a lot of people. Not pretending like I'm a complete guru on the subject of practice or that I'm a complete guru on the subject of drums in general, but obviously I guess I'm very lucky. I've had a lot of experience over the last 15 years or however many years I've been with all the bands I've been in, all the tours I've done. So if I can help in any way to, you know, with all these things, then I'm more than happy to do so. So episode 17, hopefully, which is this, is going to be all about practice, which is cool. So yeah, I hope it doesn't get too boring listening to my voice for however long. And again, thanks to everybody for listening. Oh, thanks to everybody who loved the George episode. That was a pretty serious episode. That was definitely one of my most listened to episodes within the first 24 hours that I think I've ever had. So that was truly awesome. A really cool episode. What a legend on so many levels. But yes, so yes, as always, keep in touch on the normal places. Instagram at Extreme Drummers Podcast or at Downwilding Drum. Facebook, Downwilding Drum. ExtremeDrummersPodcast.com, or again, sign up to the Patreon, get involved in all this fun stuff that we're doing, patreon.com/ExtremeDrummersPodcast. And yeah, let's get talking about practice. Right, so here we are, practice. What is practice? Okay, so I see how I see practice is it's basically the pursuit of going into your drum room, your rehearsal room, if you're a guitar player or any other musician. Practice is sitting down with the intent to improve at something specifically, or multiple things, I guess, but multiple specific things, if you know what I mean. So I see practice as the pursuit of getting better at something. So they're usually better if there's a goal in mind. So, you know, oh, I want to get faster on my feet, or I want to improve my sticking, you know, improve my rudiments, or, you know, that kind of thing. A great example recently was when I used to work at drum shops back in the day. There was a drummer who was amazing. A local drummer called Jimmy Allen. If you're listening, you're amazing. Probably not listening, but you're a legend. But he was incredibly good at six-stroke rolls, playing six-stroke rolls as triplets and kind of moving them all around the kit. And I was obsessed with how good it sounded. And I wanted to get better at it. So I went into my drum room, completely broke it down. What is the sticking? How is that played? What is it, firstly? Learn it at its most basic, in its most basic way, and then build up from there. I guess it's like completely deconstructing a Lego model and then rebuilding it until it looks great again. But that genuinely was a complete kind of obsession for a while, and it was something I sat down and made sure I did. Not a huge amount, but every time I sat down at the drums, I made sure I did 10-15 minutes of just figuring that out. Not only understanding it and making it faster, but also interpreting it around the kit, trying to explore it as much as I could. And that was completely all I did in that 10-15 minutes. It was just with the focus to get better at that one thing. And mentally I was disciplined, physically I was disciplined, because I was doing it regularly every single day, and the goal was to get better at that one thing. So, and again, back in the day when I was learning how to do blast beats and learning how to get faster, I would do exactly the same thing. I would sit down at my drums. When I was learning speed, especially, I would put metronome on, get to the point that I got to the day before, so whatever tempo that it was on the metronome, and I would start there, and I would play, you know, however long I could at that tempo, and then I'd bump it up by 2 beats per minute, 5 beats per minute, whatever I could manage, and then I'd keep going and keep going and keep going. And it was an everyday disciplined thing, coming back to it every single day, coming back to it with intent, with purpose, knowing that I wanted to get better at that specific thing. And that to me is practice. There is also another type of practice, which kind of involves a lot more things, which is when you're practicing music, you know, you're learning songs, or you're preparing for a tour, or you're preparing for a studio session, or you're preparing something like that. And in a lot of ways, it is a similar approach, because you are sitting down. I always say sitting down. It's because I'm a drummer, I guess. You always sit down. Or even guitar players, when they practice, they sit down. But anyway, you're going into your drum room or your practice room, whatever it is, and you are focusing on that thing that you want to get better at. There is a goal. You don't necessarily know how long it's going to take. It will take as long as it takes. Sometimes it takes 2 weeks. It rarely takes 2 weeks. It's usually a lot longer than that. Sometimes it takes 6 weeks. Sometimes it takes 2 years. Like for this six-stroke roll thing I was talking about, that probably, for it to properly come out in my playing and to feel comfortable, it probably took a couple of years of really playing it all the time. And that was every single day. And that's something that I've learned as I get older, is that nothing is quick. And to really, truly kind of bring something into your playing so that it comes out naturally, it takes ages. It's like learning a language. Like I've talked about this a lot on the podcast with a lot of guests, but it really is like learning a language. And so that you can, you know, it'd be like trying to learn Spanish, and you start learning Spanish, and then 2 weeks later you walk into a cafe in Spain and you expect to be able to just have a conversation with someone. It's like, it's probably not going to happen. It's the same with anything musical. You have to sit down with it. And I've heard the word fellowship used about this, and it's, you know, fellowship with it. You have to obsess over it. And every time you sit at the drums, do that thing, and only that thing, for at least a little while. And again, learning songs, learning music, that is absolute practice, because you are in a focused mindset. There is a goal to improve at something. And it's disciplined. You're not doing anything else. You're not getting distracted. And that's how I see practice. That's my interpretation of practice. I don't know if that's, you know, I'm not really a guru with all this stuff, but you know, that's how I see practice, and that's how I approach practice: sitting down with an intent, with a focus to get better at something. It could be multiple things. You could want to get better at 5 things, but if you're sitting down every single day, I keep saying sitting down. If you're sitting down every single day and working on those 5 things every single time you practice, quote unquote, then that is what I consider practice. Also, practice is so good for, I guess what I'd say, measurable improvement. So if you do that, you discipline yourself to do this thing, or multiple things, or, you know, songs, it could be anything, whatever it is, and you're doing it regularly every single day, you will get better at it. There is no way that you won't. And that's one thing, because, you know, I do teaching, and that's a lot of the time students come to me and say, oh, you know, I've been doing this and I don't, you know, I'm not really getting any better at it, and blah, 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 and I don't know why I'm getting better at it. I've been doing it for so long. And when you break it down, it's because the discipline and the repetition and the consistency isn't there. It's gone from practice, and it's moved into the other thing, which I call playing. You've got practice, and then you've got playing. And practice, as I've said, I've just kind of said why that's so important, and why that's kind of so good, and you know, you can measure your improvement with practice. But playing is very, very hard to measure improvement, because what I'm talking about when I say playing is when you sit down again, and you have no intent, no goal, no discipline. You're just playing. You're noodling around, kind of seeing what comes out. And that is great. That is equally as important, I think, for so many reasons. Firstly, you are learning how to improvise, which I think is so important across the board. So many reasons it's good to improvise. It's good to improvise, to be able to improvise so that you can write your own drum parts, so you can, you know, interpret songs and kind of improvise your own things over the top, speak your own language. Secondly, a really, really big one that I find is if you're on stage making mistakes. Yeah, that's kind of what we all do. But if you're on stage and, you know, there's a lot of pressure and you know what it's like, is the sound is crap and it's not your drum kit and the hi-hats stand is collapsing and all kinds of stuff. If something goes wrong in the song, you lose where you are, or, you know, the guitar player messes up or something and it throws you off. If you're unable to improvise and play and mess around, it's going to be a lot harder for you to kind of bring everybody back to where they should be, because your brain will just panic. You'll just be like, oh, crap, I don't know what to do. Everything's going wrong. And, you know, everything will shut down. If you're comfortable with improvising and comfortable with your own playing enough, you can kind of, you can talk your way out of it. You know, it's like getting out of a conference, that's with the language analogy. It's like getting yourself out of a confrontation. You know, someone comes up to you in a bar and tries to start a fight or whatever. If you're very good with language, you can kind of decompress the situation quite well. And it's the same musically. If you understand how to improvise and, you know, how to kind of move around music freely, then you'll be so much easier to get out of those situations. And finally, improvising and playing around, it's really helpful to figure out what type of drummer you are and what type of musician you are, because it's so pure and so natural. It's just coming out, you know, and you realize like, oh, I didn't, that just naturally comes out of me. I don't even know where that's from. I don't know where I've learned that, but it just comes out. So playing is unbelievably important as well for those reasons. But it's very hard to see noticeable improvement with playing, from my experience, because you are just playing what comes out. But whatever comes out, you're not necessarily noting down what it is and saying, oh, that was a cool lick. I'm going to write that down. And then I'm going to work on that and expand that and make it better. Then you've moved over into the realm of practice. But I believe that both of those things feed in so well to each other. And for example, that's kind of how I quote unquote practice these days, is I'll sit down at the kit and I will play. I will put on a song. It could be a pop song, or it could be, you know, I don't know, hip hop song. It could be a country song. It could be a metal song, whatever. And I'll just jam, or I'll just sit down and jam without the kit, without a song, sorry. And then the minute I stumble, it's, you know, kind of, it's like stuttering when you speak. The minute you stumble or you forget your words, as it were, then you stop and you'll be like, okay, why did I mess up there? What was I trying to do? And how could I get better at that thing? And then you focus in on that one thing you were trying to do and why you couldn't do it. And then your practice kind of presents itself. Oh, okay, I was trying to do this. I couldn't do it because I haven't spent the time breaking it down. It's something that I heard someone do once and I thought I could throw it in and I just couldn't. So so that's kind of the practice versus playing, you know, aspect. They're both so important, I find, to be a kind of well-rounded musician, not just a drummer or a guitar player or whatever. To be a musician, I think you really need to have both aspects in your playing. And also playing, as I said, versus practice, playing is fun. Like, that's the most fun, when you just sit down and you just not worrying about anything. You're just playing what comes out and playing along to stupid songs. That's the best bit. And you need to have fun. Like, what's the point if you're not having fun? Music's meant to be fun at the end of the day, especially playing music is meant to be fun. So don't discount playing, noodling around. But if you're not improving, it's probably because you're not doing enough practice. And practice, again, is sitting down, once again, and taking that time, that disciplined time, to work on a specific thing or multiple specific things every single day or as regularly as you can. I know I'm very spoiled because I get to play drums pretty much every day. But and if you are struggling with knowing what to practice and getting out of that playing thing, it is hard these days. I think it's harder, a lot harder these days than it was when I was younger, because we didn't have the distraction of hundreds of incredible drummers, thousands of incredible drummers and musicians on social media. And the minute I do it now, you know, I see someone and I'm like, oh shit, that's amazing. I want to learn how to do that. And then I sit down and try and do it. And I'm like, yeah, I'll just play around with it. It's not very good. And then 2 weeks later, I'll kind of try it again. And I'm not focused on it. And then again, I'll open up Instagram, whatever, and I'll see another person. Oh, I'd really like to do that. And there's, it's not really going anywhere. So it's having a goal, having a real reason to why you want to do this stuff is really important. And it's very hard when you've got the distraction of YouTube and Instagram and every social media, because it is constantly in your face. So being able to try and kind of figure out what you want away from all the noise is very important too. What you love, what you enjoy, why you want to be better at something. You know, there's a lot of people who want to be better at double bass or want to be better at blast beats, but it's like, but you play in a country band and you never play metal. So that's, you know, it's going to be a lot of practice for something that you're not really ever going to use. If you genuinely love it and you want to do it because you love it, absolutely fine. You will put the time in. But because you'll make yourself put the time in because you love it so much. But having that intention, that intent, that goal, that drive is the best starting point with that. But if you're struggling, there is absolutely no problems in reaching out to a teacher. Find a teacher. Everybody's a teacher now. I'm not saying myself. Obviously, I teach, but everybody does lessons. There's tons of online courses. There's all kinds of stuff. So Drumeo are incredible. So, you know, there's no shame in getting help. Like all the best drummers in the world were taught at some point in their life, as far as I'm aware. So there's no shame in getting taught things. But yeah, just be aware that if you're not really improving at something that you want to improve in, it's probably to do with the practice side of things. Again, don't just obsess on practice, because playing is super important as well. But if you're getting annoyed that you're not improving, then maybe look at the practice side of things and the routine and the discipline and all that kind of stuff. So that's my piece on practice versus playing, or practice and playing, and how they feed into each other and how they're both important. As far as how I approach things right now, all I'm doing is practicing Carcass songs and the Carcass set. And I'm also, excuse me, doing what I call speed drills, which are just very basic speed exercises. Just to cut, it's more endurance, to be fair. Speed and endurance exercises, just to kind of get me in physical shape for what's coming up. I don't know if anybody knows the Gavin Harrison CPU analogy, but it's basically you need to try and get to a point where you've got your CPU is so high and there's so much headroom in your CPU that when you're on stage playing the songs that you play, you've got so much left in the tank that if anything were to go wrong, or you weren't feeling well or jet lagged or, you know, anything like that, then you've got so much left in your CPU that you could still play those songs perfectly, even if you hadn't eaten in 14 hours or you've gone straight from an intercontinental flight to on stage, which anybody who's done touring will have done many times. I know I have, and it's just awful. But the more you can build the headroom into your CPU, the better you're going to be. And you can do that by, again, for me, I find with this type of music, I can't speak for any other type of music, but endurance is so much more important than speed. especially for a band like Carcass. If I was playing for Flesh God Apocalypse, which I probably never would because they're too fast, but if I was playing for a speed band, it would be different, and my practice routines with Trigger the Bloodshed and Aborted and those kind of bands was different. But now endurance training or endurance kind of drills and all that kind of stuff are so important because it helps me with that headroom. Because Carcass is Bill and Jeff play unbelievably loud, so I need to hit as hard as I can. I need to hit as consistently as I can, and we play long sets. We play anywhere from an hour and 15 to an hour and a half. So I need that endurance more than most other things. So I do really basic exercises for a long period of time. So I'll just do 16th note single stroke roll on my feet with a half time groove on the hands, and I'll do that for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just every couple of days, just to build that headroom. I do a similar thing with blast beats, just kind of doing a blast beat, and this is all at comfortable tempos, by the way. This is like 185, 190. I'll just do a blast beat for much more than about 4 to 5 minutes consistently. It's also quite boring. Again, going back to the practicing, practice can be boring, but it's a means to an end. So I do that stuff. Outside of that stuff, I'll be playing the Carcass set, and it's just getting my body in physical shape, and also getting my brain in mental shape with the songs, remembering the parts and remembering the little bits and the changes and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of like, it's almost like maintenance. It's not hugely creative. I'll change the fills here and there, but it's maintenance. It's getting myself, it's kind of reminding my body to get physical again. Again, that's a very specific type of practice. I know that I'm going on tour in a couple of weeks. I need to be ready for it. So I need to practice specific things to be ready for it. If you don't have that thing, and that's kind of what a lot of us have had over the last couple of years, that's when for a lot of people it gets tricky. And it really got tricky for me. I didn't know what to practice. I didn't know really what I wanted to get better at, because I'd kind of always been a band drummer, but after a while I kind of got the inspiration up again, and I started, working on different things that I'd never really had time to work on before, because of before the pandemic it was pretty much just maintenance most of the time. It was making sure I was ready for the shows, doing speed drills every now and again, trying to fit in some new stuff, especially for writing. When you're writing new music, that's when you can be creative and kind of push in more things that you wouldn't normally play. But generally, up until the pandemic, a lot of what I was doing is what I do now. But I definitely did struggle trying to figure out what to practice. It is hard. Having a goal is so important, and that's why having a band is good, or having a musical project. It makes practice a little bit easier because you have a reason to practice. But outside of that, you really have to find out what, if you don't have a band or if you don't have a goal or whatever, you need to find out what you really enjoy playing. Don't worry about what's cool or what you think other people like, because if you're going into it like that, then you're probably never actually going to get better at it. You need to do something that you genuinely enjoy and you genuinely think that thing is incredible. I can't sleep unless I'm better at that. It's all you think about. So, but yes, sorry. Going off on tangents, as I always do. I don't know how long I've talked for there about practice and all that stuff. But so right now, lots of Carcass practice, speed drills, all that kind of stuff. And that's kind of, it's kind of familiar territory for me, because it's kind of all I used to do. But I will tell you one thing. This is one piece of advice. I'm not some kind of guru, but I've been lucky that I've done a lot of touring. I've played a lot of shows in my time. Practice, you can do as much practice as you want in your drum room or in your bedroom, whatever you've got, as much practice with the rest of your band in the practice room. But the minute you get on stage, all of that goes out the window. Not to say that you shouldn't practice. You absolutely should practice. You should do as much practice as you can. But what I'm saying is, that first show, first couple of shows are always going to be shaky because everything is different. The minute you get on stage, there's pressure. There, you know, a lot of the time you can't use your own drum kit. So, you know, you've been just been practicing on your kit. You've been practicing those songs perfectly on your kit for the past 6 weeks. And then it comes to crunch time and it's like, oh, you can't use your kit. You've got to use this kit. And it's got a different, completely different size kick drum. And you can't move any of the cymbal stands. And, you know, so it's like you can prepare as much as you can prepare, but don't put pressure on yourself to be perfect. Like, and again, it's hard with social media and all that stuff. You see people that are perfect. But in their minds, they won't be perfect. So the videos that you're seeing of the first couple of shows, especially of these people, and you're saying, oh my God, that was the best drumming I've ever seen. They probably walked off stage thinking, that fucking sucked. That was the worst show I've ever played because I was uncomfortable. It's the first couple of shows of a tour. Yeah, all that stuff. So basically, don't put too much pressure on yourself. And this is why one-off shows are really, really, really hard work. I find that one-off shows the hardest. We did last year, we played in Leeds, Damnation Festival. And it was the first show since the pandemic. And we practiced for ages. Like we practiced for six to eight weeks beforehand, multiple times a week as a band. And I was practicing by myself at home. We had a new guitar player, so we were making sure, you know, that we were really up to scratch. New songs as well, first time playing new songs from the new album. And it was a train wreck from my perspective. Like it was okay and no one really noticed it, but the whole set, I just didn't really feel comfortable. I didn't really know where I was with the songs. Oh, what's coming next? What's coming next? And I'd played those songs for 10 years before, you know, apart from the new ones. But so, and it just reminded me, you can't expect to be perfect straight off the bat. It takes a while to warm up to the whole playing live thing. So don't be too hard on yourself because it's tough. It's really tough. But yeah, so I hope some of that advice, I don't know if that was advice. Was that advice? Was that just the ramblings of a crazy man? I have no idea, but let me know what you think. But yes, so now I'm going to move on to some questions from my wonderful, wonderful patrons. Again, if anybody is interested in joining us over at the Patreon page, it is Extreme Drummers Podcast. No, what am I talking about? It's patreon.com/Extreme Drummers Podcast and get involved in all the conversations there. But yeah, so I've got some questions here from the patrons and they're really interesting ones as well. Stuff I hope I can help with. Again, I'm not pretending I'm a guru of any sort, but I've had quite a lot of experience with bands and playing live, all kinds of stuff. So, and I've been playing drums well over half my life now. So I guess hopefully I can help in some way is what I'm saying. Okay, so I'm just going to go through them. I'm going to read them out. A couple of them are quite long. So I hope you guys don't mind that. But hopefully these if I can answer these questions, then they'll help you guys as well. If you're struggling with a similar thing. So first is a question from Adam. Shout out Adam, legend. So I'm going to read out the whole question and then I'll see if I can answer it. Most of the time when I practice, it's me running through my band songs. I have all the songs written down on pieces of paper and I draw some out of a hat and play those. Helps keep everything fresh. I don't have a regular practice schedule. Sometimes I'll play 6 days a week, others just one day or anywhere in between, usually for 45 minutes to an hour, all depending on how I'm feeling, how busy I am, etc. There will be times where my body doesn't want to cooperate. For me personally, it's usually my legs. Out of nowhere, I'll start having problems doing double bass spurts. For example, three measures of a punk beat, then the fourth measure is halftime with a double bass roll. I'll stop and play a double bass roll just fine, but going into it from another beat, I won't be able to get my legs going. It's super frustrating because it's something I've played a bunch of times, no problem, and all of a sudden I'm having problems with it. I've had people tell me to take a break from practicing and let my body rest, which is hard for me because I'll start to panic and think I need to practice more to figure this problem out. It's always been the more you practice, the better you get. So I feel like I should be practicing more. It also becomes more stressful if I have a show coming up. I'll feel like I need to practice way more. So I don't make a fool out of myself come showtime. Eventually it'll come back to me and I'll be able to play fine. What can I do in these situations? Just bust out the practice pad and work on my hands, force myself to not practice for a few days. Are there any specific stretches, exercises I should do? I normally don't stretch before I practice. Too lazy or forgetful. I do stretch before playing a show, though. Sorry for being so long-winded. Hopefully this all makes sense. Thanks for any help. And there we go. Okay, so really good question. And funnily enough, this is something I experienced very recently. During the pandemic, I was meant to be doing a session for a band. Anyway, didn't work out timings for whatever reason, but ended up being done by my good friend Dan Presland. I forwarded it to him. He's an amazing drummer. But it was really fast, really, really, really fast stuff. And I hadn't played really fast stuff in a long time. So I was kind of practicing fast stuff every day, all the time. And I kind of got a little bit too obsessed with it. And in the end, yeah, I was playing it way too much every single day. And it got to a point where I couldn't do the session anyway because of timing. So I stopped doing the session. And then I had to go straight into Carcass stuff. And all of a sudden, I found it almost impossible to play mid-tempo double bass. It was like my body had like forgotten how to play mid-tempo double bass. And my left foot especially was just like, whoa, 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 what are you doing? Like, we've just been playing fast for the last six weeks obsessively, and now you want to go mid-pace. Like, what's wrong with you? And I had a real, real, real problem with my left foot. It just wasn't working, and I had Carcass stuff coming up, rehearsals and all this kind of stuff. And the more I thought about it, the worse it got. The more I stressed, the worse it got. And it was really worrying. Freaked me the fuck out, if I'm honest. And this was really recently. This was only last year. And yeah, so I kind of realized, and I spoke to my good friend Krim, and asked him if he'd ever, basically I just said, have you ever had this where your left foot just doesn't want to work? And he basically said, yeah, I had that a year back or 2 years back. Basically he'd burnt himself out. It was a similar situation. He'd kind of overplayed a certain type of thing. Then when he tried to play something else, it's kind of not that his body gave up, but it kind of was like, no, you need a minute. You know, I can't do everything all at once. And that really reassured me that Krim had been in that same boat. And this was not far off the build up to that one off show that I was talking about in Leeds. And I was like, Jesus fucking, I can't control my left foot. What's going on? So, Krim basically said he took a long break, just forgot about it for ages, just forgot about double bass drumming, and just started from scratch essentially. And so I was like, oh fuck, I've got a show in a few weeks, so I can't do that. But I was so aware that I'd done so much kind of groundwork with my feet that I can't have just forgotten how to control my left foot. So something was going on. So I decided to take a break. But we were doing loads of Carcass practices, and I went into those Carcass practices and only played with one foot. So I only played with my right foot. Didn't play with my left for probably 3 weeks, which was very weird, especially on the double bass parts. I was just going da-da-da-da-ga-da-da-da instead of da-ga-da-ga-da-ga-da-ga-da-ga-da-ga-da-ga-da. But yeah, long story short, miraculously, after a whole bunch of weeks, I kind of got back to it, and my left foot kind of seemed to be all right again. I still have moments now where it's not quite the same as it used to be, as with control. And that's probably because I haven't really, since that happened, I haven't really sat down and built it up from scratch again, which is what I would recommend doing, and I think is what Krim did. So take it right back to, you know, to a slow point, build up again from there. Really slow, comfortable point, basic exercises, like I was saying before, 16th note, single stroke rolls with a halftime groove or whatever, and just build it up really, really slowly again and work on each of those tempos individually, because as we all know, at different tempos, you're using different techniques, and you need to be comfortable with all those different tempos and different techniques. But yeah, basically, in answer to your question, there's a couple of things going on there. But I would say if it's stressing you out, and when you're getting stressed about it, it's making it worse, you just need to stop. Because from my experience as well, not just with that last year, but I've had it before with my wrists. When I wasn't getting the results that I wanted for whatever reason, it normally came down to physical problems, which I wasn't aware of previously. The more you push it because you're frustrated, the worse it gets, and then you give yourself bad. Then you fall into bad habits that cause even more problems. And I know, as you say, it sucks because mentally you're thinking, God, no, if I stop practicing and take a break, then I'm just going to lose everything I've worked so hard for. I totally get that. But I had Eugene Rabchenko on a few episodes ago. If you haven't listened to that one, we talk about taking rest and how important rest is. And he's a big advocate for rest and resting your body and taking a break from practice. And a good friend of mine, Ali Richardson, drummer of Psilosis and Bleed From Within, he does a similar thing. He plays a lot and then he has months away from the kit. And then when he comes back, it takes him a week or two, but he's back up to speed. So I feel like rest is very underrated and it isn't talked about as much as it probably should. So if it's causing you stress and you're pushing through and it's getting worse, I would say step back from it. Again, I understand when you've got shows coming up and all that kind of stuff, that sucks. But again, how I approached it was I just said to the band, I'm not using my left foot. Like, I'm sorry. But I will for the show, obviously. And, you know, building up to the show, the few practices before the show, I'll obviously use my left foot. And I was kind of just hoping it would get better, which it did. But, yeah, take a break. There's no harm in it. If it's going to cause you to hurt yourself even more or stress you out because it's not happening, it's better to take a break and remove yourself than get even more stressed and make it worse. And as far as the you were saying, the thing that stood out to me there was the fact that you don't have a regular practice routine. I understand with, you know, the way life is, especially when you've got a full-time job and responsibilities and all that kind of stuff, to be able to make something regular is really hard. But I feel like if you can do something, even if it's small, so basically small and often as opposed to big chunks irregularly, if you can do just a little and often, I find like that's almost a better way to go, because instead of putting this big strain on your body, you know, once or twice a week for a long amount of time, you're doing small consistent amounts of strain, and hopefully that's something that won't cause you to have these physical problems, I guess. Hopefully, again, this is from my experience, things that have worked for me, so I'm just trying to hopefully help you. But yeah, what I'm saying is this happens to everybody, so don't feel bad about it. But also don't feel bad about taking a break. I know it can be hard and frustrating, but sometimes rest is the best answer and the only answer. So maybe try rest. As you say, bring out the pad. If you're not working on your legs, then work on your hands. Or if it's just one leg you're having a problem with, again, like I did, just use single bass drums for a while. Or if it's your right foot, then just use your left foot and build your left foot up. Like there's so many things that we can practice and can be practicing that if something isn't working, take a step back, because the more you think about it, the more you stress about it, the worse it's going to get. So, if you can, I know it's hard, then smaller practices regularly every day. Just try not to overstress your body, at random points. I guess it's the equivalent of like running a marathon once a month and then not doing anything else in between. You know, your body's going to be like, whoa, where's this come from? This hurts. So I don't know if that's a terrible analogy. But yeah, so I hope that's helped. Adam, thank you for the message. I hope that's helped anyone else who's got a similar thing. Right, the next question is from Jackson. Hi Dan, I have a question regarding double bass. I've been practicing with the ankle technique for the past few years and I feel like I've made some decent progress, especially with my left foot. Unfortunately, about 3 months ago, my right foot, strong foot, has been completely failing me. I'm not able to start in time at all when I want to play constant eighth notes. And if I want to play double kick at any tempo from 140 to 190, I suddenly have no endurance and no control. Also, keep in mind, before this started happening, I was able to do everything I'm having trouble with without any problems. This has easily become the most frustrating and discouraging time in my years of playing. Any tips would be amazing. I think this comes back to what we were just saying. Again, thanks for the question, Jackson, and thanks again, Adam. I think a lot of this stuff, if it's not physical, it can be mental. And it's once something starts happening, you start focusing on it, and then you can't get that thing out of your head. And it's a vicious cycle, isn't it? The more you think about it, the worse you get, the worse it gets, the worse it gets, the more you think about it. So if you can, just don't think about it for a while. I know, again, you've got shows and all that, may have shows coming up, and you know you don't want to not practice, but maybe don't obsess over your feet for a little while. The other thing is, it could be physical. Have you recently changed your bass drum pedal settings? Have you recently started doing more working out? Have you started sitting down more? Like, cause I've noticed that if I don't do much physical moving around, if I have a chilled week, I find it a lot harder to do anything else on the drums. So I feel like everything outside of drums also feeds into drums. So are any of those things a change? I guess, what's your practice routine like? Are you doing things regularly every single day? So I guess a few more questions for Jackson there. But yeah, Jackson, get in touch with me on the Patreon and let me know. But yeah, rest, once again, I think this comes back to rest. Like, take a break from it, work on your hands, work on your left foot if your right foot's being annoying. Build the left foot up. Like, that's a really, really cool thing. If you were able to do it before, there shouldn't be a reason that you can't do it now. It must be a mental thing. There must be something that's, you know, if things change at home, you know, is there extra stresses coming in at home? All of this stuff plays in. You can't kind of underestimate how much physical stuff, mental stuff affects you physically. So if none of that's changed, then maybe you need to go to a person who has more experience than me, because I'm a loose end there. But yeah, I'd say rest. If you have the ability to rest, i.e. you don't have loads of gigs coming up, then just rest. Don't play double bass for a while. If you want to keep practicing, again, just use your left foot. But if whatever that thing is that is stressing you out, just don't use it. Because the more you use it, the more you'll try and force it, and it won't work like you want it to, and then you'll force it even more, and it'll just get worse, worse, worse. Anyway, yeah, so I really hope that helps. Thank you so much for the question. Again, and get in touch with me on the Patreon. Message me on there, and hopefully I can do some more. We can figure out some more stuff with those extra things. But yes, okay, so Kyle is the next question. Again, thanks to everybody for all these questions. What's the biggest challenge you've had to overcome with your playing since becoming professional, other than just learning new material rapidly? Have you had to overcome physical limits to unleash your creativity? How long do you find that it naturally takes new concepts to appear naturally in your playing? So that's a two-part question. Firstly, biggest challenge I've had to overcome with your playing since becoming professional. The first thing that comes to mind is moving from triggers to microphones was a huge, huge thing for me. Carcass doesn't use triggers at all, so I had to kind of transition from using triggers to microphones, and that was a kind of night and day move. All of a sudden, I was having to be unbelievably conscious about dynamics, which I'd never been conscious about before, because obviously a trigger, you hit a trigger once and, you hit a trigger at any velocity and it still comes out as full velocity. And the minute I was starting with my microphones, I was like, oh, I'm completely in charge of this, the sound, all the sound that comes out. If I just feather the bass drum, it kind of sounds like shit. And then if I smack it, it sounds really cool, but I can't smack it when I'm playing fast. So learning that I had to pull back on the slower sections, but then also hit harder on the faster things, that was a real learning curve for me. And it took me at least a couple of years, probably more than a couple of years, to really feel comfortable with it. And I still struggle with it now. Sometimes when I'm, again, not in good shape for whatever reason. Again, this is pre-pandemic. We'll see what this tour looks like in the next few weeks. But yeah, that was definitely the hardest thing professionally I've had to deal with. You know, even compared to when I played in Trigger the Bloodshed and Aborted, that stuff was really, really fast. But a lot of that was, you know, just repetition, sitting down and sitting down and playing exercises over and over and over and over again, and then pushing the tempo, and then over and over and over and over again. It was kind of it was formulaic, whereas figuring out how to produce really good dynamics on my kick drum after, I guess I'd already been playing drums like 12 years at that time, and I was really comfortable with triggers and kick drums. It was almost like I was starting from scratch. So that was a real, real learning curve, and it took a long, long, long time. Like, it was crazy, because we went straight from I joined the band. This is Carcass, sorry. I joined the band, and then within a couple of weeks, we were in the rehearsal room writing Surgical Steel. And then within a few months after that, I was in the studio recording Surgical Steel. All the time in between that, we'd never played shows with Carcass. I never played any live shows together. We went straight into the studio, and I was playing with Heaven Shall Burn, who are a completely different vibe to Carcass. It's very rigid, it's very machine-like, and it's all triggered. And I was straight in the studio, and it was like, oh, we're not using triggers, microphones. And that was kind of learning on the job. And I definitely, there was times, I remember a tour where I had a similar thing that I was talking about before. I messed up. It was my right foot. I'd kind of overplayed with my right foot because I was trying to hit too hard. And once again, I had to take a break. I had to take a huge, huge break. I'd forgotten about that, actually. I had to take, I think it was like a month or 6 weeks of just not playing. And I had to start again, almost start again from scratch, because I'd obviously injured, or I'd pulled a muscle or something. I just pushed it too hard because I was trying to hit. I was just trying to hit too hard. You know, I was trying to be like Eloy Casagrande or something. But I still hadn't really understood how my trigger playing translated into microphone playing yet, and I just pushed it too far. But now I'm a lot more aware of it, but it's still a learning curve. That's one of the things that I really work on still is kick drum dynamics. It's still a big point of practice for me. And good question. The second one was, how long do you find that it takes new concepts to appear naturally in your playing? Honestly, a lot like the double bass drum thing, I'd say years. I think I mentioned the six-stroke roll thing earlier. That took me at least a couple of years to naturally bring itself out in my playing. Just to come out without me even thinking about it, and to feel comfortable with it. I can't think of anything else that has taken less than a year, at least a year. And that's with a lot of practice as well. That's almost obsessing over the thing. And this is feeling really, truly comfortable with it, comfortable enough that I would just, you know, improvise with it in a live setting. You know, in a Carcass show, I'd just bring it out and I'd just play it. To actually, to feel good about it in the practice room is probably a few months, but to actually really do it unconsciously and it be a part of your playing, I'd say across the board, at least a year, if not more. I don't know if that's kind of good or if that's going to scare you away. But it, yeah, nothing is quick. Everything takes time and you have to really just obsess over it and not worry about how long it's going to take, because once again, if you worry about that stuff, you start stressing about it and you won't get better at it. So yeah, thanks, Carl. I hope that's a good answer. All right, final question, because I've been blabbing on for ages. I don't know how long I've been blabbing for, but probably a long time. If anyone's still listening, is Marcus. Hey, Dan, which routines do you find the less disgusting ones, hands and feet, so you are able to do them regularly, especially for maintaining a certain speed level? Thanks. Yeah, that's a good question. A lot of the especially speed maintenance stuff is not fun. It's hard to find fun stuff. But a lot of ways of getting around that is... So as I was saying earlier, I'll do things like 16th note single strokes on my feet, and then I'll play halftime groove over the top. To make that a little bit more fun, I just change what I'm playing on the hand. So I won't just do a halftime groove. I'll do like a blast beat for a couple of bars, or I'll double up the snare so it's more like a thrash beat, or a, you know, on the beat snare. Change what I'm doing with the right hand. That all helps with your coordination as well. So... And the same if you're doing something on your hands. This is the kind of classic Thomas Lang thing. If you're doing something on your hands, you know, like doing paradiddles or, you know, anything, instead of just doing it on a pad, start tapping on the desk there, sorry. Instead of just doing it on a pad, you can move it around the kit, make it a little bit more interesting. Or you could do something with your feet underneath, especially if you're doing like single stroke roll practice on a pad. That's just the worst with a metronome. You can always watch Netflix or, you know, watch YouTube while you're doing it, because you don't really need to concentrate on that kind of stuff. It's just kind of maintenance zoning out stuff, isn't it? But the other thing is playing along to songs. So if you've got a song that you like at a certain tempo, doing those exercises along to songs, especially if it's a tempo that you're comfortable with, or if it's a tempo you're trying to work towards, doing those kind of basic, anything basic, especially for speed and endurance, I find is the best. The minute you just start getting too complicated, your body kind of just gets overloaded, and it doesn't become about speed and maintenance anymore. Speed and endurance anymore. I guess the key with it being endurance is you want to do it for a long time. So if you're doing something super complicated that's like it takes 6 bars or 8 bars to resolve itself, you know, your brain's going to be overworking. So you're going to be concentrating so much on the pattern or whatever that it's going to be hard to actually do it for a long period of time without having mental burnout. Whereas if you do something super basic over and over and over and over and over and over again, you can kind of do it without even being aware that you're doing it. So yeah, you can, you know, mess around with the hands if you're doing something on the feet, vice versa, mess around with the feet if you're doing something on the hands. Play along to songs. Again, you know, like play along to Angel of Death. It's not to a metronome, but who cares? Play along to Angel of Death. Just do kick drums the whole time. You know, I've seen Achilles Priest who does that. He's like plays along to songs and puts double bass through the whole thing. I mean, that's a great way of practicing. Really, really great way. And it's a fun way of practicing, and also you're building your coordination as well. But yes, so I think that's pretty much it. I don't think there's any more questions. I hope I haven't missed any questions. Let me just double check. If I have, I'm incredibly sorry. But no, so yeah, Kyle, Marcus, yeah, let's check the, yeah, no, I think we're all good. Yeah, so thank you so much to everybody who listened to this one. I hope it was helpful and enjoyable. Again, there'll be a few more of these coming up on different topics. So if you guys want to get involved, and if you want to suggest topics, or if you want to, again, send in questions, then head over to the Patreon, sign up, join the conversation. But yeah, thank you to everybody who's listening. Thank you so much. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I hope there's been some helpful stuff. And yeah, keep in touch, and I'll see you on the next episode next week, I guess it will be. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Thank you so much, everybody. Hope it wasn't too boring listening to my dulcet tones for the last, I don't know how long it's been, 45 minutes, hour. Oh God, I hope it hasn't been that long. Anyway, anyone who's made it this far, thank you so much. Thanks to my amazing Patreons for the questions. Patrons. Thanks for everyone for listening. Oh, God, I'm dying here. Thanks for everyone for listening, and I'll see you next week. Thanks, guys. Bye.